Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this time, O God, that we can come before you. Truly, Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for thy Spirit, Lord, teaching us, guiding us through this walk. Father, it always touches our hearts, O God, when we see how much you have done for us and how much you are teaching us. Father, this morning, O God, as I approach your word, will you just give me the guidance of God and the Spirit have the preeminence in our hearts. Lord, each and every one of us has our own individual challenges and experience. But show us, O God, show us how to submit ourselves to you. If only, O God, we can give all our hearts to you and throw away all our human reasoning, O God, and our mind that is always having this kind of influence on us. But Lord, if only, O God, we can see how you work. Father, if we can recognize, Lord, the authority at work, O God, you will take care of all things. Lord, this morning, O God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will take control. Speak to our hearts, O God, and break down the words for the edification of all my brothers and sisters. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I like to give a little testimony first before I go into the sharing. I like to thank God for his love and his care. It is not easy when we see that there is a gap, especially when something that needs to be done and needs to be addressed. And the more we see the urgency, the more we see the responsibility, I think it is going to actually make us more worried and also more concerned. But I want to thank God that I've been trying very hard. I told the Lord that I don't know what he has for me, but I just want to try my best to stand in the gap. Where I see the gap is, I try my best. Okay? So I thank God because my first sharing, I was talking about understanding the will of God, you know, and where we stand. Most of us, when we are doing that kind of situation, it's always what is it God has for me, rather than what is my part to do for God. Remember I shared about when God came and gave his life for you, are you worth him, right, dying for you? It is the same that the story I shared about the Vietnamese war. The soldier actually saved his friend's life, but in standing up to warn him about stepping on the mine, he was killed by the Vietnamese enemies. Right? 7 years later, he attended a memorial, and then the son was there. Right? He knew that the son was heartbroken, and he went and tried to encourage the son. And the son looked at him and asked him, "Are you worth, you know, my dad dying for?" Right? So that kind of relationship, that kind of understanding should wake us up, right? Because the relationship that you have for God, it cannot be just the other way, you know, I just take, and then God has to do this. He promised, right? It's the beginning and the end. So it's everything God's problem, not mine, right? Then, when Dragan shared about revival starts from him, revival starts from each and every one of you. I remember I touched on the spiritual warfare is a warfare that is ongoing. Don't underestimate it, right? The problem with us is, if you don't understand the warfare is real, then you're fighting the wrong enemies. You understand what I'm saying? Because if, right, we say that when God actually bring you to every confrontation, what is it for? It is actually for you. If God can have the full obedience from you and the submission from you to him, then all the problems will be overcome. It is why I shared that when did Christ overcame when he went to the cross of Calvary? It was actually at Gethsemane. It was not the for him to be able to go through Calvary was actually at Gethsemane. He prayed three times, right? For the Lord to actually take it away. And ultimately, his conclusion was, not my will, but thy will be done, right? Okay? So this is what I'm trying to tell you, that the problem when we see the Old Testament and we see the story in the Old Testament and how it depicts and moves forward to the New Testament. Right? I hope I will be able to illustrate from there, okay, that all this form that comes is actually real. Right? It is actually the spiritual warfare that is fighting in your mind every day in the lives that you have. Because God is asking you, right? Where am I, right, in your life? Have you found my will for you in your life? What is God's will for you in your life? Okay? So, I hope that you also can see that the ministry that prophetic revelation is doing to actually stop, how do I put it, to set the standard and the truth, such that all those liars and deceivers that go about lying, right, in the international arena across the different countries, how wicked it can be, and people just brush it aside. You know what I mean? So the problem in that warfare is, if there is no sincerity, right, if there is a lie somewhere that needs to be set correct, okay, you must draw the line between something that need to be condemned versus something to be, oh, you got no God's love, you're not sympathetic. You know what I mean? Right? That is the deception of the devil. When things are not set correctly, okay, it will grow. I give you an example. You see, the way the devil attacks, right? Right now, lesbian, gay, you know, and all this, the way it has become so bad, right? That means a person can choose to be a homosexual and lesbian. There's nothing wrong, right? And that's how it started with the woman's rights, right? The woman can vote. Even in that decision, the authority in the home is all broken down. Correct? The authority of God's word is broken down. So, I hope to be able to bring up today the importance of recognizing the authority of God's word. Right? If you are not able to come to the presence of God to be corrected by the Lord and to let the Lord deal with you, then the only way that I can reach you is you've got to see what God's commandment is, correct, and how much He's condemning you. If you still don't see it, then there's no way we can help you. You see, the subtlety of Satan when today my sharing is to talk about the submission to God's authority. That's the sharing that I want to touch on. But I want to bring you to recognize that it is so subtle that, look, the most we live is about 80 years to 100 years, right? But Satan has been around for a very long time, right? So who is the better? Who knows us better? Correct? That's why the Lord took Peter and taught us in the prayer, right? Lead us not into temptation. Don't go and stare at temptation and think you can overcome it. Right? That's the last thing to do. Okay? Because if you are not aware of your own weaknesses, I tell you, the thing that you fear most will happen to you. That's a fact. Right? So this is something that we must know our enemies. So I wanted to start on by going to this. Let's turn to the scriptures. Okay, so the topic is to recognize authority, but the more important part is how do we submit to authority. So I will try and bring in the recognition of God's authority, right, and then how the importance of you have to submit. If you are a child of God, okay, when God has an authority, okay, He will appoint someone to stand in this gap. That deputy authority is actually each and every one of you. Okay, why I say that is, remember, the Lord says the kingdom of God is within you, right? Your life, if it is not living the resurrected life, correct, then you will find that you are not able to manifest God's life to the people around you. You understand what I mean? So the battle is, many times we underestimated the importance of this role, right? And then we get into trouble. Okay, so let me just I want to bring to the story of this Moses, right? When the first one is when this the two sons bring in the strange fire, right? Okay. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. And are we there? Leviticus chapter 10, reading from verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron helped his priests. Now, Nadab and Abihu has been the two sons of Aaron. They have seen what God has done, correct? And they actually know the ministry and the way God works. But yet, what makes them do this, right? So the hidden insight there is the disregard to God's commandment. The day you think that you can reason out of it and you can do better, right, or do different, that's the day you fall. Okay, so there is it's not like when Satan deceived Eve, right? Okay, God said the day you eat of it you'll die. Reasoning is good, you know, I'll be enlightened. So the moment you bring in reasoning, then you are actually challenging God's authority and disobeying it. So you got to watch this. Now the other thing is that when they did this, this one is because I think they went to drink, you know, and then they do this silly thing. But the other case that is very worse is the corporate rebellion against God, right? And that is when the whole group come and tell Moses and Aaron that you took too much upon yourself. Numbers chapter 16. This is a challenge to the priesthood. Okay, we know that everyone is called in the Leviticus priesthood. Korah, right, is actually part of it. But through his reasoning, he feels that, no, I'm also equally as holy as Aaron and Moses, right? And this is the challenge. Let's read from Numbers chapter 16, right? Reading from verse 1. Now Korah and the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the sons of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Whereof then leave ye yourself above the congregation of the Lord. Now when you do this, right, you not only are challenging Moses and Aaron, actually they are challenging God. And what I want, brothers and sisters, for you to see is, you also see the character of Moses, right, and how he responded. That is the kind of life that God wants us to emulate, right? Okay. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he had chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take your censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord thus chose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seem it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And he brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? So you see the subtlety of how Satan twists and influences the mind of Korah and the 250. They are all holy, correct? They're so well known among the people. You will realize later on that even when after God has caused the earthquake and destroyed them, the people cannot believe it, right? And the rumor spread that they blame Moses for causing it. You know what I mean? So that's how much the people can be deceived and mistaken, that they're all good, right? They're all holy, right? What happened? How come like that? But here, we're talking about you are going for the Leviticus priesthood role. And remember, brothers and sisters, all of us are priests, right? That priesthood role is what God has given to all of you to live that life for Him, right? And here, you see this group challenging the authority of God, and Moses tried to reason with them, right? And tried to explain to them, you are not going against me, you are going against God, right? And if it is of God, you wait and see, God will prove it, right? It's not for me to prove it, it's not for the Moses and Aaron to do it. But he's trying to stop them from one problem to another. It's just like when Samuel told Saul, the Amalekites, that you destroyed everything, right? Including the sheep and the lambs. But when Saul was there, oh, the sheep are very good, you know, right? I can take it and offer to God. His reasoning is very good, correct? He has plenty of reasoning. That is what we must realize, that the moment you let your mind reason and you challenge the authority of God, that's how the devil starts the warfare. Right? There will be strife, there will be murmur, there will be all kinds of attack that will stir up. It always seems right. Okay? You want to reason it out, your mind will be able to reason it. But you must understand what will happen. Okay, let's go down. Verse 12. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that flow with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? Except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. See, the reasoning of the devil when he actually goes into the attack, many a times we try to hasten the promises of God. Right? So now he's saying that you promised me land and inheritance, until now still don't have. Correct? Right? So now you'll make yourself a prince over us. Okay? And they refuse to even come out. Verse 15. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, and thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. In verse 20, and the Lord spake unto Moses, and said unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin And will thou be wroth with the whole congregation? Look at the when God touched Moses and Aaron, in that role that he played to stand in the gap, to stand to plead for grace and mercy for the people, right? That is the kind of manifestation of the Spirit of God. You know, God, right, is so angry, but he can just consume them, right, and start afresh, right? But Moses knows the heart of God, and he stood up and says, it is one man's sin, you're going to destroy the whole congregation. And the Lord, in verse 20, said unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in their sins. So here, brothers and sisters, the importance of recognizing the sin, right, and recognizing the wickedness. They are holy men, you know, they are priesthood and royal, correct? But when you challenge the authority of God, okay, you got to see where you have stepped off your line. Verse 27, and so they get up from the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan, and Abraham on every side, and Dathan and Abraham came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord had not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, and they shall go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, you know, when you fight the spiritual warfare, we all know that you have to always be on guard, and Satan is always going to come against us. Please don't keep on repeating the same old weaknesses or the same old sin, or I should call it the faults that you have. Don't keep repeating it. If you are not aware, you are actually grieving the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So don't provoke the Lord. Verse 31, and it came to pass, as he had made an end of his speaking all these words, that the ground cleaved asunder, and that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came a fire from the Lord that consumed the 250 men that offered the incense. Now, this is what happened, and they saw it. But later on, from verse 26, you will realize that the way Satan attacked, right, it is not a simple kind of one-time incident and you'll never repeat again, right? I'm sorry, right? This is Satan, right? And what he's doing is, he is going all out to destroy you. And how does he work? First, he works from the outside. Second, he starts within. Okay? He always starts within you, and next, within your family, within your work, or within your church, or within the environment. So if you can recognize the enemies and recognize how God is warning us and telling us that you got to understand the authority and understand how to exercise against it, and it starts with us, right? So we all know that Christ came and he set the example. He's the captain, right, leading us, and he's actually set the example that he suffered in order for God to give him that victory. Correct? So if you can recognize that and see that each and every one of us need to approach it from the angle of yourself, able to surrender to God fully. And surrender in such a way that you don't bring in your own reasoning, right? And you don't bring in your own understanding, but fully submit to Him. You look at Paul. When Paul, he was so educated, he knows the thing so well, when the light struck him, correct? He just obeyed what God wants him to do. He can always come up with a better way of doing it, right? Yeah? To go to the other place. But he knows that when God moves, right? It is how God works. Why? We all say, Lord, show me your will. Right? If you show me your will, it's easier for me, right? Rather than now I'm trying to figure out what's God's will for me. Right? It's the same when you have kids, you get into a car, you know, you want to drive from point A to point B, it's about 2 hours or 3 hours. The moment you get in, they ask you, are we there? Are we there? Correct? So if we were to tell you your will at the beginning, then you don't have to ask God, right? Then there's no such problem. But is that how God works? No. Correct. Because when God wants to move, right, if God were to tell you what He wants, then you would not depend on Him anymore, right? I can do it faster. Correct? That's human nature. Okay, if I know His will, yeah, know what needs to be done, then I wouldn't have so much problem. So what is the problem? The problem is that we all know that we live our life by faith. Faith is believing on things that you don't see, right? Things that you cannot see. If you can see, you don't need faith. Correct? And that's how God works, right? So if God told Abraham, then, you know, I'm going to give you so many children at the start, Abraham, look at it and say, I don't think I have it now, right? So he has to just wait on the Lord, right? The same for Sarah, right? So the issue is, God works. He will tell you the promises. He will give you a vision or a dream that something is like that, but when you look at yourself, how you want to reach there, no way. Correct? Okay? So that's how God works. Then when you have that understanding of the way He deals with us, then you learn to depend on Him and just try your best. Correct? And if you are going to let your reasoning and let your own effort, you know, There's a very worrying. We men are built such that if we do something with our effort, we are very proud of it, right? And that is the weakness that we have, right? We have to do many things with our effort. If you want to do by God's way, right, then it's more painful, correct? Because God knows you better than you know yourself, correct? And He's asking you to submit to Him, right? So that is the challenge, and it's even harder. Right, to be talking about spiritual growth, it's even harder to be telling someone that I think you don't have enough this, don't have enough that. So I illustrate before that when the new believer come to know the Lord, the joy of the Lord is in him. The moment he become a Christian and he start to grow and start to mix around with the church, see the more senior, you know, the more he knows, the more headache he's gonna get. Right? Why? Because no one person, right, learns things. I cannot learn how, you know, when you are learning a skill, you can see someone do it, hey, very easy, I think I can do it, right? But when you try, it doesn't work, right? Okay? So that's the whole problem. We always think we know how to do it, but we didn't leave it to the Lord. Okay? So if you want to leave it to the Lord, then how can you do it? If by coming to the fellowship, by coming to the assembly of God, you can't hear God there, right? Say, this one so boring, you know, right? Nothing for me to bring back, you know what I mean? Then I don't know how to help you. That's what Satan will make you think, right? Because when you come to the fellowship of God, you got to first you recognize your authority, then you got to give due respect. It's just like you meeting someone of a very high stature, you will dress up, you know, and come with a heart prepared, right? You mean God don't deserve that? Where is your respect for God? Give God the honor that He due, right? Yeah. If you cannot even do that, then you come here, you expect to get something out of it. I also don't know how to help you, right? So the issue is, it is a problem with your respect for God, your attitude to God. I'm telling you all this because when I look at the African brethren, their challenges is different, right? They have a long way to climb up the hill, you know, and then the robbers will attack them, and then the villagers are all full of drunkards. But here, no problem. You know what I mean? We don't have any of that, right? No robbery, right? So, where is the battle? The battle is in the mind, right? The battle, the subtlety of it is in the developed country, in the good life that you have, and your attitude towards God. What do you want to do? Right? I warn you because I always remember what Mordecai told Esther. She was a poor, you know, adopted girl that became the queen, right? And he was given the opportunity, right, to go and approach the king to plead for the people. I tell you, to her, she must be thinking that maybe no need me lah, you know, there are other people better, right? I just, now I'm so privileged, you know, so honored. But if I go without the king, the Persian king calling him, he will die, correct? So he, Mordecai told him, he knows what she's thinking through, you know, to the correspondent. And he told, don't think that you are raised at this position in this person, is you think you, God needs you. You know what I'm saying? Correct? The message that he told her was, if you don't do it, God will raise someone else to do it. Correct? Which is true, right? Does God need each and every one of us to do this? Right? No. Right? He can always raise someone. He don't need us. But we are very blessed and privileged, right? To know it, to be here, to see things that are happening. And I'm telling you, what touched me most was actually, Bragan says that his life now is put, right? It's literally being poured out for all of us, right? For his whole ministry by God, right? To see what the devil will do now. You know what I'm saying? Right? And when I went to read the testimonies of those people who, you know, he showed on the website, right? To us, when we see the exchanges of people with insincerity, right, and we will just don't associate with them. I don't want to waste time with them. But these are people that is putting it on website, deceiving the congregation in their world, and still claiming that they are actually guided by God. You know what I mean? And can you imagine that, as the book of Jude says, they don't fear God. They have no sincerity. They just keep doing it. That's why there is a need to uphold, right, the truth and to condemn sin where it is, so that people can see it. Right? So I hope you can see the difference and why it's good. Now, moving out from that arena, I'm talking about now, right? When we see God dealing with us, deep in our hearts, we must be like Moses. How he, when he see the stubbornness, right, of the priesthood and the people, he also tried to plead with God to protect the people. We continue to verse 36, the atonement for the rebellion. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning and scattered down the fire yonder for their hollow. The censers of these sinners against their own soul, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar. For they offered them before the Lord, and therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censer wherewith that they were burnt, wherewith they were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial to the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. Now the next part is the murmuring and the plague. Now this is how Satan works. Here we can see it is all demonstrated.
But can you imagine the rest of the people?
They must be very far away, correct or not? And they started murmuring.
Let's continue reading from verse 41. And on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. You see, this is the same old way that Satan is always attacking, right? You have actually tried to kill all these holy people, correct? That are serving the Lord, right? You killed the people of the Lord, right? Verse 42. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked towards the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And again they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, this time, right, doing that is not good enough. Right? Moses knows that the Lord is going to actually destroy them. Right? And Moses quickly told Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord and the plague is begun. So this is how serious that many a times when we use our own reasoning and we use our own feelings, right? Eh? Something that is really wrong to you, it seems correct. Okay, so to these people, is Moses and Aaron killed holy people. They are so, they are leaders in their age. They never do anything wrong. But you see, the subtlety of Satan is the pride and the challenge on the authority. That is the problem. Okay? So we must recognize that many a times, if we are not careful, because this authority is not just given to us, but it's been shown, right, in the scriptures that God appoint and reach out to us through the church, through the family, through the government. All this authority is given to be respected, right, and followed. Okay, and the whole idea is, you got to render to Caesar what is due to Caesar, and what it belongs to God, correct? And if you don't have this, there'll be chaos. You understand what I'm saying? Right? And if you cannot recognize it and can't see how Satan attacks, then you will see that your role to represent God and be like Moses and Aaron, you were actually unable to perform it. So what Moses realized is, there's no more, not enough, right? So you've got to go to the altar and bring the incense and go among the people. So if we go down, right, in verse 48, and Aaron did that, right? So in verse 47, Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague has begun among the people. And he put the incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. So that's how we, as a child of God, given the role of this the role of the priesthood duty, we also need to recognize this and help to intercede and pray for our brothers and sisters to avoid some of these mistakes and errors that they made. Our lives, right, is an example that we want God to use us to reach out to one another. We need to pray for one another. Prayer and fasting is something that you have to do. It's because we are so blessed and developed that we have a hard time doing it. That's the problem which I keep on emphasizing. Revival comes from each and every one of you. So you need to make a conscious decision as to how much, how serious you are, you want to get closer to God. Okay? So if you can find and put in the time to give God the honor, then you will realize how Satan works. Right? The more you draw nigh to God, the more he will attack you. It's a fact. Right? So here we go down to verse 49. And now they that died in the plague was 14,700.
beside them, and they died because of the matter of Korah.
And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle, and the congregation and the plague was stayed. So here, brothers and sisters, it reflects a very serious conflict, right, that is repeated, right, down through time. Okay, this is how Satan will bring in this attack against God's challenge authority. The one we should learn is from King David. Okay, he knows that King Saul was anointed by God. Okay, and many a times Satan gave him plenty of opportunity to kill him. Okay, but what was on his mind? Am I able to touch God's anointed? No. Okay, and brothers and sisters, each and every one of you, you are given, right, the Holy Spirit, right? The Lord Jesus Christ gave His life to you, right? Aren't you having the Spirit of God within you? Do you know that you carry God's anointing in you? That's why God says that your life, okay, and the things that you say, God is using you, right, to reach out to the world. God don't need you to do big things, okay? Right where you are, the life that you live, God just wants you to remember. He came to die for you, right? And He only asks you to love Him and manifest His life to the people that you come with, right? That's all He asks, right? And He gives you His Holy Spirit. He gives you all the promises. The only problem is that we always forget that this enemy of ours is like a roaring lion, right? Always going around using your own reasoning, using your friends, your colleagues to influence you, giving 1,001 reasons for you to say that, enough, right? To make you give up in your walk with the Lord. So the attack is very simple. The children of Israel need to come to God. The Levitical priesthood is for them to come with their humility, with all the sins that they have, to confess their sins before the Lord, right? Correct? Isn't it? There's nothing fantastic that they must do. They just need to come. Okay? Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Okay? Yeah, Mark chapter 12. Here is the Lord trying to tell the people, right, about the authority that He uses. So if we just scroll up to chapter 11, okay, Jesus was walking towards the Jerusalem, and then He saw the fig tree, right? Then He saw the leaves was on the fig tree, so He went there. He was hungry. He went there. That was in chapter 11, verse 12 to 14. Maybe we just read that. And on the morrow, when they come from Bethany, He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, He came, and happily He might find anything thereon. And when He came to it, He found nothing, right, but leaves. For the time of the fig was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever, for His disciples heard it. Okay? Then we see from verse 15, Jesus is in the temple. Right? Then He went in, He saw them, and He overthrew them because they were selling, buying and selling. And then in verse, we go down to verse 20. Right? In the morning as they passed by again, they saw the fig tree all dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto Him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said, said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, in verse 24, I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe, and ye receive them, ye shall have them. So this is the secret that the Lord talk about this, right? But you realize that in verse 25, right, the Lord says, when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So the relationship, right, and the prayer when you come to God is very important. Right? And now we go to the most important part. The question about Jesus' authority. Okay? Then the verse 27, the chief priests and the scribes, they came, they were very curious. They said, and they came again to Jerusalem as he was walking in the temple. There come unto him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And they say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who give thee this authority to do these things? You know, the chief priests and the elders, they recognize the authority. Right? But their reasoning, okay, blinded them totally because he never followed our keeping of the law, you know. And in verse 29, and Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, you say then, why then did he not believe him? But if we say of men, they fear the people. For they all counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. Right? And Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you what authority I do this thing. So the answer lies in chapter 12, verse 1, the parable. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set a hedge about it, and dig a place for the wine fat, and beat a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handed. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some, killing some. Verse 8. And he yet therefore one son, his well beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverend my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. And what shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and will give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And verse 12, and they all sought to lay hold on him, but they feared the people, for they knew that he spoken the parable against them. Do you know that the secret of that authority which the Lord gave to all of us, okay, actually the vineyard, right, is the children of God trying to bear fruits, right? All that the Lord has shown will manifest the Christ-like character for his glory. We are all given that. Okay? And in fact, we are the husbandmen of the vineyard that is in our lives. And the Lord has been sending many, many messages, right, teachings, to tell each and every one of you the importance of pruning your vineyard, right? If you're going to be like the four examples, right? Listen and then just forget about it and it's all gone, correct? The birds will take it away, correct? So this vineyard of ours is what God is talking about here. We are given an inheritance, correct? It is this inheritance that God wants us to treasure it and bring it up to its fullest. If you don't realize that you can't do it because you did not submit to God, right, and you're still fighting against him, you did not obey and listen to what he's telling you, then your battle will keep on going. Okay? Right? Because if you are going to use your reasoning, right, and say that I need to work, I need to earn a living, correct? I have so many things to upkeep, correct? Then where is your priority for God? Am I right? So this is not something about the enemies and the war outside. It is within. Then when God says that, I send you one message, you look at the book of Revelation, the seven church ages. All the problem that came up, right, in all the seven churches, okay, the same problem is still there, right? The subtlety of the devil is always attacking us from all things, right? So what is on our part to do? You want to build up your life to be closer to God. Give time for God, please. Okay? I repeat it again. Find time to pray. Be like Brother Nice and Brother Andrew. When the church calls for prayer and fasting, they all come. When we call for prayer and fasting, alamak, I also don't know what to say, right? No time, very busy, right? So the issue is, where is the battle? The battle is real. The battle is the spiritual warfare. It is that so-called developed lifestyle that you have, right? Where is your attitude towards it? When you challenge the authority of God, right, and challenge the word of God, you are actually despising God, and the learning that you have will actually get hindered. Your sensitivity to the presence of God, to the God's moving, will be affected. You don't realize that you need to maintain that reverence and respect. I give an example. When we wake up, okay, and we open up our senses and see the world, our senses will react, right? Your body needs all will come, and things that you see will affect you. What I'm asking you to do is to look at this and tell yourself that this battle in the mind, right, that we are always facing every day, how much do we meditate on the Lord? You know what I mean? How much do we guard it against all the influences and things that will distort us? That is the reasoning that Satan will use, and we always start from there. Okay? So be like King David. Let's go to the book of Psalms 141. King David says, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, and give ear to my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let me not eat of their dainties. Verse 5, let the righteous smite me. It shall be kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. King David's prayer, right, and this is what he says, help me, watch over me. I pray that, you know, the words, you know, the things that of my mouth, right, don't let me say the wrong thing, you know. Let my life, okay, be worthy of your calling, right, that you have given me. Let my prayer when I talk to you, right, be an incense. Remember in the book of Revelations, the saints' prayers are all burning incense before the Lord. When you pray, it is not it's not that how many seconds it is done, alright? It is a relationship, correct? When you come before the Lord, we normally weep for the peace of God or the presence of God before you even ask, right? Because when you come to God, if your mind is filled with the day's work's problem, right, you haven't gone into prayer yet, right?
you haven't started your prayer. You are listening to all that your body is telling you that you got no time to pray. Right?
So what I'm saying is that the approach to God, right, and the importance to recognize it and feeling the presence of God is something that we must master. Prayer is something that you got to keep trying until you find that, in fact, you are actually forcing yourself to be pulled away from all the worldly things to be before God. Right? And when you can do that, then you start searching yourself, is there anything in you that hinders the presence of God to talk to you? And that's what the Lord say, right? If you have any sins that you have not forgiven, please get it done. Then God can forgive you. The forgiveness of sin, the godly sorrow and hurt, right? That is something that we must learn to really treasure it and appreciate it. You look at the pain that Dragan has to go through. In fact, when we hear it, it actually stirs in our heart the same kind of concern and love for him, right? That love, if you have for him, sometimes we wish that if he can take that suffering and help to feel the pain so that he won't be so bad, right? That's the kind of the lifting up of our hearts in unity and prayer. You know what I'm saying? Right? You no need to be, how do I put it? By the mere fact that you can still understand that he's still suffering for us, and we would like to help him up in our prayer, that will actually lift him up. And that's how God works. Right? God don't need you, right, to volunteer, come up with plan A, plan B, plan C, and do a lot of things. He don't need. Right? God needs you to be prayerful and learn to be sensitive to his spirit and let him do the other part. Why? Because we tend to move God and we tend to do things faster than God. That's God too slow. Right? Yeah. Because God don't have time. Only we got time. I gotta go home, you know. I must finish. That's the problem with us. We are human, right? So the King David, okay, make one very important point. Let the righteous strike me, smite me, reprove me. To me, it is really something good for me. If I'm wrong, please tell me. You know what I mean? Yeah? If I am falling away wrong, please tell me. Why? It is important for us to have that right spirit of learning. In prayer, if we are really humble enough to learn, okay, God will speak. And he uses all of us. You are the connection point to the world, to one another. Correct? God is in us. Right? So that we can be used by him to help a brother and a sister. Okay? How you want to do it? God will speak to your heart, right? The only problem we have is too busy. For the rush off to work, you know? Right? Got a lot of things to do. So many things to do. The chores is never ending. Right? Okay? So, what I'm asking each and every one of you, brothers and sisters, today is to really find time for that. And when you find time for that, you are looking at our life. Did we reflect the righteousness of God? The inheritance that's given to us, did we do justice to it? You know what I mean? How much have we, how do I put it? The role you play with the people that you meet, with the environment that you have, how much have you tried to bring them closer to God? You know what I mean? Right? It is not how much I've achieved in my worldly life. You can have a multi-million dollars, you can't live to spend it, that's it. Correct? No? So the issue is, if your life is something that you want to do something for God, why don't you pray a prayer like King David to make sure that we will always walk right before him, right? We continue to verse 6. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, Psalms 141, verse 6, when their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But my eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute.
keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the genes of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own net, which that I will all escape. So, brothers and sisters, the spiritual warfare, right, is something that we don't take it lightly. So your prayer to protect you and guard you, as how King David said here, is very important. Right? And it is like when you one of the best way, I mean, we don't like to come to church and you hear me, my whole sermon is talking about Satan, why he do this, how wicked he is. I think that's not the whole idea of my preaching. But it's exactly that, that we don't preach about what he do, that we all get tricked and fall back into the same trouble every time. We always say you must be humble, you must be humility, you must learn to submit, right? But we forgot to mention, this whole Satan is doing all that kinds of wickedness, right? That is coming to destroy us through that effect. Why? Because, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Do you realize that Ephesians 4, verse 8, right? Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and give gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But he that also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. So, I will not read all the way to verse 13, but I just want to show you one point. God gave gifts unto men, right? Do you all receive a gift from God? I'm sure you do, right? The question which I'm asking you is that, do you do justice to this gift that God has given you? Right? What is the purpose? It's in verse 13. Okay? So he gives all the... Okay, maybe we just read through. Sorry. Verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, right, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My point which I want to make is, do I take that 100% work that God has given and just divide by the apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastor and teaching? They are 20%. We all no need to do work. Is that true? I give you the analogy. These people that are in the ministry, it's like a football field in the game that they are playing. They're not the players. They're actually the watermen and the referee taking care of the players, trying to help you. Who is playing the game? Each and every one of you. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? You are your life, right? In the work that you do, you're fighting the battle, right? Okay? It's not the job of the apostles, the pastor, prophet, it's their job. No. It is actually yours. Correct? So the perfecting and the unity of faith, to grow in the knowledge, to be a perfect man, to be the statue of the fullness of Christ, is what all of you are supposed to do, right? It's not the pastor's work or the minister's work, right? Why? Because if you don't know that you have a role, right? God gave you to be an ambassador, right? For him, right? To live a life to witness to him. It's not that you have to quit your job, resign, you know, and kind of do full time. I'm not asking you to do that, right? I'm asking you to recognize the warfare that we are fighting, right? And the life that we are doing, the vineyard that we are doing. So if you don't watch that undermining of the authority, and you don't check yourself on how you should bow yourself down and submit to God and let God deal with you, you won't be able to see how God is dealing with us as a church in the ministry. So God, right, called us, given us that role, right, to be a church, a bride, right, to put on the white linen to be like him, right? That is the ministry that we are having. And the life that we have is to each and every one of us to help one another to draw closer to God and to have a revival, right, where we can be closer to him. It all starts with fasting and prayer and understanding your enemy, right? And fight the battle for real. Don't be blocked by it, right? Because there's 1001 reasons to walk away and say, you keep repeating the same old story every time I see him come up. Okay? Right? So the issue is between you and God. And if you give Satan the space,
He will give you 1001 reasons not to go into prayer and fasting. Okay? And the other thing that you must know is, when we want to do all this, okay, we all heard of people who are autistic, special needs, dementia. They actually have a real problem where some things to us as a normal person, no problem, but to them, the sound or the picture, they just can't see or they can't read or it irritates them. Right? So autism is one kind. So what I'm trying to say is that the subtlety of Satan attacking us in our lives, right? You know, many of us are actually special needs. Because Satan has bluffed you until, I don't know how to put it, I cannot tell you without hurting you, right? That some things that you do is not right. So, you know, the problem as standing on the platform of helping people grow spiritually and bringing up the needs of the life of Ryan sisters, the toughest part is my life. Because Satan will come after me very hard. Okay? And there will be a lot of faults that I have, okay, that I wish I have not done it. That's how the battle goes. Okay? So, if I may just share with you that the first thing that he always do is, I have got excuses. My excuses is, my language not so good. I can't pronounce clearly. You know, when I go and try to dictate to the computer, I can't even pronounce correctly, right? I become wrong. Right? So I cannot come up here and share. You know what I mean? That's the first problem. Second problem is, my job, you know. There are more people more capable than me, right? Rather they do it. This is exactly what Satan would do, right? If nobody do it, then who do it? Okay? But it's not that I've got something, right? If you give me a choice, it is always there are better people which God can raise, right? But the question is, where are they? Right? And where is it? So each and every one of you, to be frank, all of you are supposed to stand in the gap when the minister is not here. It's not me.
Yes.
My job is, Brother C and me, we are helping the administration and the help. We try our best. So can I ask for help? Because every Sunday coming up here is very stressful. Right? So each and every one of you, you have to, you know why? There's something which I was sacrificed always. Every time she will remember a testimony, every time I will forget. Okay? Because the less you talk about the Lord and you testify about Him, the more you forget. And that's human. That's how Satan takes away from you. Right? So you must always remember the good things that the Lord has done and testify it. It's the good deed, the little things that we do, that goes a long way. Come on, what did Jesus tell the Pharisees and the Pharisees? He said, he was reading the book of Isaiah, and then he closed the book, right? And he looked at them and says that a prophet has no reward, right? But he says that, do you remember there are so many lepers, right, during Elijah's time? Only Naaman was healed, correct? There are so many widows, right, during the famine of 3 years. Only this seraphim woman, right, that Elijah got called to her. So the point is, did God use someone that is fantastic and do it? No. When God chose you, you are earthen vessel. You're just clay, right? You're nothing. But when God takes over, right, that's different. Right? So this is what God is saying. I gave to you. Let me go to the parable about the leaven, right? Let me just find it. This is what God is saying. All of you are very blessed with that faith and that gift, and God is calling you just like He called Naaman and asked Naaman to heal him of his leper. Right? And that's how He called the widow, right? Sustained through the famine, never mind his son died, right? And he got And Elijah told the Lord, say, you better bring him back to life. Right? Then I know that you are God. Right? So the issue is, before this parable of the yeast and the parable of the mustard seed, right, the Lord was talking about the reaping and the harvest. And this is something that we, as a child of God,
This is what God expects from us. Right? So read it. Verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Okay? So this parable is the same as the verse 33, the Lord is saying, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. What is this kingdom of heaven that God is talking about? Okay? The kingdom of heaven is within you. Okay? It's our lives. That's what God is talking about. It's the least of all the heavens. But if you, as a vessel, able to recognize the power and authority of God, and how He's trying to ask you to submit to Him, you just need to be like the leaven and submit yourself to Him. You will be able to leaven the whole lump. Correct? And if it's a yeast, you will grow into a huge tree, able to help your brothers and sisters and help each other to move forward. Okay? Right? May the Lord bless all of you. I'd like to close by singing the song. Am I too early? What? I just got a shock. My watch told me it's only 11:30. Let's all stand and sing the song. I think the song that I want to sing is Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Okay. We are all on this journey where there are many trials and testing that we face, but we are thankful to the Lord. If He were to be the one that take us through, all be well. Right?
Precious Lord, take my hand, take me on.
Through the night.
Lord, truly Lord, we thank thee, Lord. We thank thee, Lord, for thy love and thy care. Truly, Father, you are the one that is always holding us through all these trials and testing. Father, we thank thee, Lord, for thy love and thy care. We like to remember our pastor, Bergan, Lord, all that he is going through. Lord God, you have given him to us, O God. And we know that all this that happened for a purpose. Father, as the song goes, O God, we all wish we can help him and carry his pain in any way that we can. But Lord, you touch him, O God. You give him the strength. Truly, Lord, thy Spirit is always there for him. Father, we thank thee. And Lord, for each and every one of my brothers and sisters, I pray, Lord, that you stir in their hearts and draw them close to you. Help them to recognize the warfare that we are in. Help them all to realize, Lord, that they have to treasure this inheritance and draw close to you. Lord, may you bless each and every one of them, Lord. As we close, I pray that you will be with their hearts, O God. In Jesus Christ, in my prayer. Amen.